Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio with Miss Tara and Miss Janelle and myself, Sandy. And we are going to be in John 20, 19 through 31. And we're going to talk about Jesus' appearance to his disciples after his resurrection.
You know, this passage is a lot of fun because Jesus told them many things in preparation for the resurrection, and most of it they didn't get. And one of the things that he said to them before it happened is that until you see me, you know, you'll have joy when you see me again. And I don't think they understood because they were about to hit the darkest, darkest night and hour. Mm-hmm. And scripture gives us actually five types of appearances that he has. You know, he has it with Mary Magdalene and then to the women, and then the two on the road to Emmaus. Then he does Peter, and then these disciples in this section that we have here. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. So in John 20, 19 through 31, the Bible tells us that, well, it was evening of the first day of the week, and the disciples were gathered behind locked doors, and they were afraid. They were afraid of what the Jews would do because they have just seen what happened with Jesus. When Jesus appears to them and he says, "Peace to you," and he shows them his hands and feet, and the disciples begin to rejoice because they've seen the Lord. And then Jesus says it again, "Peace to you." He says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And then he breathed on them so that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And he says, "As you will forgive sins, and they will be forgiven. And if you retain sins, they're going to be retained." Well, at this time, Thomas was not with them out of the 12. And when Jesus came, the disciples kept saying to him, "We've seen him, we've seen him, and we've seen the Lord." And he said, If I don't see the mark of the nails on his hands and feet, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Well, 8 days pass, and once again, the disciples are locked inside indoors, and Thomas is with them. And Jesus comes along, and he stands among them, and again, he says, "Peace to you." He looked at Thomas and he says, "Put your finger here and observe my hands. Reach out your hand, put it in my side. Don't be an unbeliever, believe." And Thomas says, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus says, "Because you have seen me, you believe, but those who believe without seeing are blessed." The scripture then tells us Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, but they're not written in the Bible. There are many, if they were all written, the Messiah, the Son of God, by believing, you may have life in his name, okay? May God honor the telling of his word. And so here's the passage of Jesus appearing to them. And after hearing it, what would you say the key thing is that he's trying to communicate to them?
Peace.
What makes you think that, Janelle?
Gee, maybe it's like the emphasis that you put
three
on
times.
It.
I don't know.
Three times. And who all is involved in this passage? Let's look at that. Who all is here?
11 of the disciples.
Okay. And so Jesus is coming in, and he's talking to them. Now, the first thing I really want us to think on, I was just sitting there going, why does it keep telling us that they're behind locked doors?
Right, because he all of a sudden just appears. He doesn't come through the door. He's just there.
Right. Mm-hmm. But why are they locked behind
fear of the Jews?
They're afraid.
Okay. Yeah.
When they walked with Jesus, do we have any biblical example of them being behind a locked door? I cannot.
Not that I think
I'm trying to think. I don't know.
The upper room is the only time I can recall, right, is them actually being in a room. The rest of the time, they are journeying. They're outdoors.
Yep.
They were interacting with people. They were in the crowds. They were in the temple. They were on Mount of Olives. They were many places, but not once do we have a biblical example of them being behind a locked door. And so how would you say their feelings are at this time because of that one thing? Mm-hmm. Locked behind doors.
They're fearful.
Afraid?
Yeah.
It reminds me of a scene in Les Mis when after, you know, the revolution has failed and those that were associated with it are hiding, like, what are they going to do to us? Mm-hmm. Because we associated with these people and this is a failed act, and now we're afraid of what's going to happen to us, what punishment. It's kind of a similar thing here.
And I think when he says peace to them, he's telling them, do not fear, I'm with you. I'm here.
Yeah.
Mm. It's so good.
And it wasn't a failed revolution.
Right, right. And so he knows what's going on. And I think it's just, I think it's hilarious that the door's locked and he appears. That in of itself.
Would be fearful a little right. bit all of a sudden. Yeah.
But he says it three times. We're told twice the door's locked. And so that, I just never had caught that before, that they were like in hiding almost. Mm-hmm. Now, he told them, go and wait in Jerusalem. You know, he will actually, he's going to tell them that. And at that point, they will be, when the Holy Spirit comes, you know, Pentecost occurs, they'll be gathered. But it's like in a room. But all this time, it's been outdoors. It's been among the people. It's been, but the minute he's like crucified, they're hiding. And he keeps saying to them, peace be with you. Now, tradition at the time is, that's a typical greeting. It is mm-hmm. shalom. And in that greeting, that means like, you know, the typical greeting was more than let's may God save you from your trouble is kind of what they're saying. May God save mm-hmm. you from your trouble. Shalom, you know, which is peace on you. But that's kind of like the descriptive. I think it was, let me think. I'm going blank on which commentary. Oh, well, I've lost which one it was. Barclay says it's more than just saying that. It's saying may God give you good in everything. So not just may he bring you out of trouble, but may he bring goodness upon you in everything. So as
God
Jesus
bless.
Right, mm-hmm. as Jesus is using it, it's a greater blessing the way that he's using it than what the typical tradition would have had. And go to John 14:27. Would one of you open that up? And this is kind of like, and then, Sandy, you do 14:27. Janelle, you'll do the 2019. Well, no, it's good because we did those. Never mind. Just stay with 14:27.
Okay, in 14:27, John, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Hmm. All right, that's his farewell address to them. And what is he, how many times? Peace I give to you, peace I give to you twice. I do not be afraid. And what does he say about the world?
Do not be troubled. Let your hearts be troubled.
By the world. Okay, so twice he says peace, don't be troubled, and don't be afraid. That was his farewell address. Mm-hmm. And yet here we're behind locked doors, and he's having to tell them again, have the peace that we have. And the IVP commentary says that when it comes to the peace, it's a blessing. And it's especially for them, it would have been a reminder of salvation, that it's literally, you know, him bringing salvation. So I have some verses, because they said that it's critical that we recognize they would have understood the importance of peace when it came to the Lord, because Old Testament was clear on it. So Janelle, you look up Psalm 29:11. Sandy, a very traditional one at this time of year, Isaiah 9:6, that we would sing. And then I will do Isaiah 52. And then I'm going to give you guys some more, because I want us to see how in the Old Testament it talks to us about peace. Okay, if you have it, go ahead.
Okay. Psalm 29:11. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Mm. So it's a request for strength and a request for peace. Okay, Sandy, do you have Isaiah 9:6?
Okay, Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born. Is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, mm-hmm. Prince of Peace.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That passage is so, like this time of year, we will hear that a lot proclaimed. I have Isaiah 52:7, which says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald of who proclaims peace and brings news of good things, and who proclaims salvation, and who says to Zion, your God reigns. And I'm just going to have us pause there. So strength, peace, wonderful counselor, prince of peace, and beautiful are the feet of the one that proclaims peace and good tidings of salvation. And a question I've been asked, and I don't know, I don't a lot lately. It's really interesting. Like, I can see themes sometimes when people come in my office. I have been asked a lot about how do I have peace? Now, this is coming from people who know the Lord, but they're not feeling at peace. And part of it is that we have to remember Prince of Peace is inside me. Mm-hmm. But as I was going through these passages, it tells us very clear. It's comes through the proclamation of the good news of salvation. And so mm-hmm. it's Jesus and recognizing he reigns. And so if I have the Prince of Peace, I have believed in Jesus, I have him inside me, and I am not feeling peace, that feeling does not negate the Prince of Peace inside me, and that it has to be that I make the choice to proclaim my God reigns and I have deliverance, salvation from mm-hmm. the Prince of Peace. And I've had to process that a lot in the last, I think, month or two with different people. Okay, go ahead, and Janelle, I want to have you look up Ezekiel 37:26, and Sandy, I want you to do Zechariah 9:10, and I'll do Isaiah 55:12. And these are more passages that talk to us about peace. And my passage in 55:12, it says, "You will indeed go out with joy and be peacefully guided."
I said Ezekiel 10, I'm sorry.
Ezekiel 37:26. Sorry if I told you the wrong thing.
Oh, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. And so peacefully guided. And he tells them right before that passage, "My word will come forth and it does not return empty." And so it is allowing his word. And so when we are allowing his word, the proclamation of Christ, the proclamation of what he's done through salvation, and recognizing that God reigns, we will be guided in peace. And we don't have to be afraid. And so this should have been resonating within their hearts as he was telling them, "Peace, be still." He gave them that warning before, and then he gives them the reminder after. So Sandy, you go ahead and read the next one.
I'm going to... Zechariah 9:10. And I'm going to start with 9, if that's okay.
That's fine.
"Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth."
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Ezekiel 37:26, have we gotten there?
Almost.
It's all right. She's using electronics.
This is why I should bring paper Bible.
You're so cute. 37, here, see, I have it right here in mine. I won the Bible drill. Here, 37:26.
You can look it up. Do it.
Did you get it?
Yeah, that's right.
She's got it.
Aha, okay.
She got it in her electronics.
"I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will set them in their land and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore."
Okay. Now, think on this. He's saying shalom. So he covers from nation to nation, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, providing strength, guiding us in all truth. And it's beautiful to the feet of the one that is willing to proclaim salvation is our Lord's and that he reigns. All of that is in their hearts and minds. That would have been oral biblical truth that they would have had resonating in their mind as he says, "Peace be still upon you." And they would have closely related it to, it's the Messiah. And so it's not new news.
Right.
Yet, it's not new news to us either. But we're kind of slow, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes, kind
of. Kind of. And I had this quote from Beasley Murray. He says, "His shalom on Easter evening is the complement of 'it is finished' on the cross, for the peace of God is now imparted." So as he has risen and he's walking among the disciples, he's literally imparting upon them peace. And he's wanting them to stand still in that. And he's repeating it 3 times because just like a preschooler, we need repetition. It doesn't stick with us. We have to hear it over and over. And the thing that's sad is that verse 20:20 tells us that peace did not come immediately to the disciples. It says, after he said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Joy and peace are very closely related. You know, when you have peace, your joy comes. You know, joy comes in the morning. We know our strength through, and what was it? The joy of the Lord is my strength. I had to get my brain on connected to that. And so the peace is connected with that and with joy. And he told them that they would have joy again. And John 16, I think, somewhere in there, he said that they would have joy when they saw him again. So as we're thinking through this, and he's meeting them, and he's greeting them, and he's wanting them to think on peace, why do you think that that is the first thing he's giving them with all the things that he could have said?
There's a lot that's going on, and a lot that elicits a lot of different emotions. You know, they're seeing him back for the first time. There's probably confusion. There's definitely joy at seeing that he's alive again. They probably have 1,000 questions. But I think that he's asking the disciples to slow all of that down and rest in just a moment of, it's all going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. I've got this. And I need you to trust me now. Don't be overwhelmed. Just focus on me.
That's good.
And he also knows that what's coming for them, you know, that they have to have that inner peace to be able to go out and spread the word.
And be prepared.
And be prepared, right.
Right. That's just good preparation. We will talk about that in the next few shows. I'm just thinking about, you know, how he's always thinking, Jesus is always thinking through what is going on inside them. And, you know, how there's so much that they are dealing with, as Janelle says, and what they're having coming, but at the same time wanting them to be present in contentment in the moment. And present contentment, which we're told in Scripture we should be content in all things, can only happen when we are still and know that He is God, and knowing that He reigns, and recognizing what He's accomplished on the cross. And so getting that resonated inside them so that they can proclaim that and give that peace, because they cannot impart what they do not have.
That's right.
And that is critical for what the expectation is to come, because He is about to impart on them the mission of what they're going to be expected to do. And it's a preparation. And so He's wanting them to have that peace in preparation for what they're about to go proclaim, which is salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Holy One. Come back next week so you can hear more. God bless.